Today on America's 239th birthday weekend on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, we tell you the best airlines for germaphobes and which hotel chains are the least liked on social media.
Mark has a permanent TSA pre-check. Can you believe it?
Yay!
Yeah, he's cleared. I don't believe it. At 3:20, we're going to find out from Mark how that's working out, and does he recommend it for all travelers?
At 3:35, we share two traveler stories with you. One has a happy ending, one does not. It's your chance to learn from the experiences of other travelers and handle your next travel misstep just a little better.
Always here to make you a smarter traveler. At 3:55, we have the Save the Best for Last with an amazing story about the American flag that you won't want to miss.
It's the day after the 4th of July, which according to my calendar makes it July the 5th, and you're listening to the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks, I want a Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone. Happy belated 4th of July, 5th of July, as Mark calculated.
How'd you like that?
Brilliant. That's,
yeah, isn't that brilliant?
Yeah, we are the travel
tomorrow
guys.
Tomorrow will be the 6th of July.
Okay, big big dead air pause there. We are the travel guys on KFBK. Mark Hoffman to my left, the smart one. I'm Tom Romano, the Italian one to your right. And we're brought to you by
Which will become important later on in the program,
yes,
if you're
will.
Paying attention.
Yes, it will. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Did you have a wonderful 4th of July, Mark?
I did. I went out last night and did the cheap thing. I watched everybody else's fireworks. You know, you just find yourself an open field where you've got a good line of view, and you can watch them all over town. There were a lot of nice fireworks displays. Some people were a little tardy, though. I noticed that some folks were not setting off their fireworks until 11:15, 11:30. I don't know if that was just general public drunkenness or what was involved there.
Well, you know, for instance, here's a possibility. A lot of folks will go to public displays. For instance, I always go to Cordova Park, Hagen Park, have since they started doing fireworks out there, I think, in the early 80s, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And so that's a family tradition, and it's always a great display. But by the time it's over, it is like 11 o'clock. So if you come home and you have family members that want to do, because you're not allowed to do your personal fireworks at the park and at the display. So folks will come home following a large display and then shoot off their own fireworks in their yard.
Which makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Now, I don't know. Cindy didn't mention it, but the Cal Expo fireworks, they had a mishap. One of the fireworks failed to.
Yes.
And they had a fire and a lot of people went home unhappy because they really didn't get much of the display.
Didn't get to see the whole fireworks.
However, one of the things that I observed is that, and I'm really surprised, particularly how dangerous things are, a lot of illegal fireworks. You can always tell those are the ones that are in neighborhoods that are going like 40, 50, 100 feet in the air.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of that stuff.
Well, I'm
Shame
just glad,
on them.
Considering the drought and everything,
Shame.
It's I'm glad that we got out of it. You know, without the whole state being on fire.
Right, we only burned down about a third of the states,
and
not bad.
Amazing,
all right,
but
let's
true.
Fire up the Travel Guys travel music for the travel news. Yeah, I know you got a lot of good stuff.
I do. I got in the headlines here, we were talking about what's the best airline for germaphobes. And so, you know, I saw this story, and I immediately clicked on it, and I thought, well, I'm going to find out, you know, which of the airlines. And they've got a list of 10.
Awesome.
And it starts out with EVA Air, which is an Asian carrier. And then it goes to Singapore Airlines. Then it's ANA All Nippon Airways. Stop me when you catch a trend here.
Yeah.
Cathay Pacific.
Oh, boy.
Asiana Airlines. And all the way down to number 10 at Hong Kong Airlines, they're all Asian airlines.
Interesting. Why is that?
Well, and I thought, well, maybe I misread this. Maybe they were only surveying people that were on Asian airlines. No, Skytrax surveyed 18 million passengers on 245 airlines to find out the best aircraft for cabin cleanliness. And believe it or not, they were all Asian carriers.
And
not a U.S. carrier to be found among them.
No explanation.
So, no. Well, it's just that, yes, there is a little bit of an explanation. First of all, SARS was in Asia, remember, a number of years ago. And right now they're dealing with a thing called MERS. So but it's they think that perhaps the folks who did the survey say that it is because of that, that the folks in Asia are a little bit more aware of surfaces and sanitation and stuff like that, and that may be it, but that Asians are, just bicultural, are more sanitary in those situations. So anyway, it's just, if you're looking for a really clean airline in the United States,
forget it.
Good luck to you.
Yeah.
All right, same category, different set of people here, hotel chains that get the most hate on social media. This is a little bit interesting. Our buddy Christopher Elliott had this story. This was in a column he wrote for Fortune magazine. Hilton had the most negative ratings, with 17% of their people rating negative. Now, I don't know if they allowed for this or not, but Hilton also has more, because of the many brands that encompass the Hilton name nowadays, they have a lot more hotel outlets than anybody else. So naturally, they would have more negative comments just on a comment per property basis.
So, you know, not a lot of takeaway there.
And they've got Marriott, Sheraton, Westin, Doubletree, and Doubletree and Crown Plaza all tied with scores of 14%. Hilton's negative was 17%. But before you get too excited about your hotel having negative ratings, know that compared to the airlines, the hotel industry are relative angels. Three airlines, American, Delta, and United, had negative ratings that exceeded 50%.
Ooh.
So the most popular carrier Southwest had a negative rating of 38%, which is more than double Hilton's rating. So the takeaway is that people are not nearly as unhappy with hotels as they are with
interesting
airlines.
Who have you complained the most about hotels?
Who have I complained the most about? Generally hotels that are on the lower end of things. I find that, you know, with hotels, you really do get what you pay for. Housekeeping and things and repairs and stuff costs money. So you're staying in a budget hotel, unless they just redid the place, it's not going to be in as good a place as a Marriott or a Hilton or a Sheraton.
I know if I asked you the same thing for airlines, it would go on and on. So we'll do that another time.
All right. AAA says that 3% more Americans are on the highways this summer, and that 4% more Americans are on the highways this weekend. And having been on the highways this weekend, I can attest to the fact that 4% more people, I think it's more like 40% more people are on the highways this weekend. People are traveling all over the country. In fact, Thomas, people are traveling right now, travel to places. Did you see the fireworks in Washington, D.C. on the TV last night?
Oh, sure.
And big fireworks displays in Philadelphia, New York City last night on TV. And Boston, which is where one of our road reporters, Chris Galloway, is right now.
No.
Yes, he is.
Really? Maybe we should get him on the radio.
And he joins us live on the air right now. Hey, Chris, you there?
Son of a gun.
I am. Hey, guys. How are you?
All right. Magic.
How are you? He's in Massachusetts. Looking for a place to park his car. Chris, you guys got to see the fireworks in Boston last night. So how was it?
It was the best fireworks show I have ever seen. You want to talk about Boston strong? These people know how to put on a fireworks show.
And your day started out with some sightseeing in Boston. Did you do something that got people in the mood maybe for fireworks?
Our day got started off standing in downtown Boston in front of the Old State House with a reading of the Declaration of Independence. Now, keep in mind, this is the city where it all began, and this is where it was very first read, and we were standing in those same exact spots where the colonists first heard this document being read.
Wow.
It was pretty amazing, I'm not going to lie. As you stand there, you can kind of, in your mind's eye, go back to that time period and imagine the power in those words and what it meant to those people. And I'm going to tell you, there were a lot of people sniffling and wiping away some tears.
So written in Philadelphia, and you guys were at the spot where it was first read to people in Boston. That's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. So big crowds in Boston over 4th of July. We're just talking about the number of people traveling here. Are you among many?
You know what? The crowds in Boston, in and around the tourist areas, were pretty heavy. However, most Bostonians had taken off and headed north up Route 1, or US 1, up into vacation land, which is southern Maine, which is a place where we also spent some time as well on this trip.
So it's just like everywhere else. People who live in that community don't really embrace what that community is about as much as travelers do a lot of the times.
Oh, of course.
And so, Chris, if you were going to tell a listener they were headed to Boston for the 4th of July fireworks next year, they were going to spend the holiday in Boston, you got any helpful hints for them, any tips that might help them?
Have a game plan. For example, last night, our group, what we did is we went over to Cambridge, which is literally just across the St. Charles River. So what that allowed us was to sort of miss all those 700,000 people crammed in around one area there in Boston. We saw the exact same view. We had sort of a base there at one of the hotels where we had a nice barbecue and event. But have a game plan. If you're traveling with people, make sure you have a spot where you're going to meet them should you be separated or, heaven forbid, there is an emergency. And my biggest tip is if you are in a city that has public transportation, use it, use it, use it.
good advice. Chris Galloway, joining us live from Boston, Massachusetts.
Yes, and so those that may have just tuned in were the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And Chris is taking a group of Sports Leisure Vacation travelers on this trip. This is something you guys have been doing for a few years.
This is a brand new tour.
And, it is.
Looks like that I'm sure it's going to be offered next year. Yeah, it sounds like they had a really good time. They went up to Maine and saw a whole bunch of things up there anyway. So thanks to Chris for giving us a call in from Boston. The airlines are under investigation here. Rolling on with the travel news, the Justice Department is investigating whether airlines are colluding to grow at a slower pace as part of an effort to keep airfares high. No one seems to know quite exactly what the investigation entails, which I will suggest to you is a good thing. The airlines have really powerful lobbyists in Washington. So if they can't figure out what's going on, then that's probably a pretty good thing at this point in the investigation. It'll take a while for this to all unfold, but we'll keep an eye on it for you and just find out. At least we have someone out there, maybe a case of good government. The Department of Justice out there making sure that the airlines are being fair in their pricing and not making deals with each other. Let's see here. A quick note. United Airlines is continuing to have squabbles with its mechanics over contracts, and there are whispers of a work-to-rules slowdown. What that means is that in the summer season, that would be catastrophic. That means they will do everything and sign off on everything and do everything exactly by the book, and it means that air travelers can look for some delays. Starwood credit card is getting an upgrade. Effective August the 11th. Tom, I know you're a Starwood guy. Mm-hmm. No foreign transaction fees if you go overseas. You get free bingo. No, that's Boingo Wi-Fi anywhere you go. And complimentary premium Wi-Fi at Starwood hotels if you're a credit card holder now.
Yes.
And access to Sheraton club lounges.
Awesome.
So if you have a Sheraton credit card. And finally, JetBlue, we talked a couple weeks ago about how wonderful they were. Well, they pulled the rug out from under people last week by introducing a new fare structure, which includes something we told folks last fall was coming, baggage fees.
There you go.
Indeed, tiered fares, which include the opportunity for the first time with JetBlue to at least pay something for your bag, unless you go the kind of Spirit Airlines route and go naked on the airplane. You can go to travelguysradio.com and see all of that explained, and that is the travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Have you flown recently? Did you look on your boarding pass? Did it have one of those right at the top? It said pre-checked. So you pre-boarding. You get the fast lane.
Well, take your shoes off.
Yeah, Mark's going to be in the fast lane from here on out. We're going to talk about it. That's permanent TSA pre-check. That's next on the Travel Guys. Happy belated 4th of July. It's the Travel Guys on KFBK every Sunday at 3 o'clock from 3 to 4. You can always also go to travelguysradio.com. You can see all the stuff that we talk about on the show, as well as past stuff.
Listen to previous programs there.
Yeah, you can listen to the stuff that we talk about.
They are called podcasts.
Podcasts, you bet. Anyway, we are the Travel Guys, and Mark, as we promised folks, we were going to talk about the TSA pre-check. So tell us first of all about what it takes to get... how about this? For those that may not know what pre-check is, let's do a brief overview.
Well, if some people
have
gone to the airport and you've gone up to a TSA officer who's standing there in front of the check-in lines and you've shown them their boarding pass, and sometimes they've said, "Here, go this way," and sometimes they say, "Here, go this way." Sometimes you're in with the great unwashed and you have to strip naked and have a full cavity body search before you can get on the airplane. And some people are blessed and allowed to go in the TSA pre-check lane just randomly.
Right.
And because the officer has made an assessment there and on the spur of the moment decided that you're not as big of a threat. So you go over there. You don't have to take your shoes off. You don't have to take your toiletries off. It's basically an express pass. You have been deemed to be a lower risk. They are less and less randomly taking people for that because many people pay for the privilege of getting this every single time they fly. It's kind of like what Ed Perkins was talking last week about the for those who go out of the country often having the thing with U.S. with U.S. Customs.
The thing about PreCheck, for those that have not experienced it, you do not have to take your shoes off.
Right.
If you have a computer that's in a carry-on, you don't have to take the computer out of the bag.
Correct.
If you're wearing a coat, you don't have to take the coat off.
Generally, unless there's something metal in the pockets. Okay. The light jacket you can leave on.
You don't have to take your belt off.
You don't.
You still do go through the metal detector.
You do, but you don't. But you go through a different metal detector. Mm-hmm. Not the one where you put your arms up and it detects anything on your body, but just one that's looking for metal. Yes.
Anything else?
That's pretty much it. You don't have to take your 3 ounce things out of your bag with the 3 ounce things stays in your carry on bag and they just they X-ray it as it goes through.
And the advantage is here again, all of those things and a quicker go through.
Much quicker through. And when you get to the other side, men. You don't have to stop and put your belt back on and redress yourself, your shoes, you know, all that kind of stuff, because you didn't have to take all that stuff
off. So the TSA has made that available
on a random basis to different travelers. Airlines who have travelers in their highest tier of their frequent flyer program, Platinum Medallion at Delta, 1K at United. I don't know what it is at American, what it's called at American, but nonetheless, if you're in that program, your airline sometimes put you in, previously had put you in, and then it would show up on your ticket more often because you were considered a trusted traveler. Your airline had more information to share with TSA. But what they've told us in the last few months, and the reason I went down and paid them $85 to get this, is that that's going to happen less often. If you're not one of the people who paid for it, we're going to pick you less often so that the people who paid for it can truly use it and get through.
So the great unwashed
yes.
for $80?
$85 is what it costs.
What do you have to do?
I went down to West. There are two places. One's out off of Madison and I-80, and the other one's over in West Sacramento. I went to the West Sacramento address. You can make an appointment, sort of like DMV. You make an appointment, and you go in. I went in at 3:20 in the afternoon on a Tuesday. And if you make an appointment ahead of time, I literally was out of there in, I think I walked out the door in less than 15 minutes.
So how do they scrutinize you?
Well, you pre-qualify yourself. It's kind of like getting a loan for a house. You fill out an application online that allows them then to check because a private company is the one that is taking your information and submitting it to TSA. So, yes, they have all that information. You walk in, you verify a few things, you sign a couple documents that says the information you've given them is correct, and if not, you're going to go, you know, they're going to put you in jail. and then you go and you wait for the number to come in your email. It took about 2 weeks. They tell you up to 6 weeks, but it took about 2 weeks for mine to come.
They do a pretty extensive background check.
They do. And then you have to, and now this is not global entry, which is the thing if you're traveling internationally. This is just domestic. Mm-hmm. And I tend to not travel too much internationally. So the domestic one is appropriate for me. As Ed Perkins told us last week, if you travel more than twice a year internationally, he really recommends that you get global entry, which is the same as this, just a little more expensive, a little more extensive background check, same type of program. But now what happens is I just go into my airline frequent flyer records. If you weren't a frequent flyer, you just do it when you bought a ticket. There's a line there that says you have a known traveler number. And I put that
number
in. And I put it in my permanent record with the airlines that I fly frequently. And then I never have to put it in again. And, you know, this is one of their little brochures that they have and tells you about how you too can get the pre-check, pre-clearance. So if you fly a lot, I really recommend it. Now, you have to know that at a lot of smaller airports, they have what's called pre-check light, because they don't have enough personnel to be running two security lanes at non-peak times of the day. So what you will do when you get pre-check light is you still have to take your shoes and your belt off because you're going through the regular kind of lane, and you have to take your computer. No, you don't have to take your shoes off. You have to take your computer out, but you go through a special metal detector, and so it still is much faster and more advantageous than having to get, you know, do the complete great unwashed, get naked cavity body search type thing. But so anyway, I think it was worth it. I think based on my experience, it is worth it to me. I fly probably 40 or 50 times a year.
Now, how long is this good for?
It's good for several years, Thomas. I knew you were going to ask that, and I was looking at it here to try to figure it out. I think it's good for, it's either good for 3 years or 5 years.
Okay, not a bad investment.
No, it is. And the thing is, if you're one of those people, and I'm not because I go through airports a lot, but if you're one of those people who's always going through the airport at the last minute, then it's something that will save you some of those precious last minutes. Do you want to shift gears just for a minute here?
Yes.
We got a couple of minutes.
Be my guest.
You have always talked about how you were a great Grateful Dead fan. And this weekend, the Grateful Dead has been doing their what is it? Tell us goodbye or something.
Yeah,
concerts
yeah,
in
yeah.
Chicago.
Right, right.
Four or five of them. Have you listened to one on the radio?
Very controversial because when they first announced it, there was a limited number of performances, and so people paid some pretty serious money for those. And then they go, you know what? Maybe we'll do a few others. And so all that money you spent for, you know, $200, $500, $600, you could have held out and got the cheap
seat. Taking a shot at another ticket for the new concert. So I assume you'll be getting the pay-per-view. And
yeah, absolutely.
I went out, speaking of old rock and roll bands and stuff, I went out and saw Peter, Paul, but Not Mary out at Harris Stages a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And God, that was the best evening.
Did they have a fill-in
for Mary?
That
wasn't just the best concert. No, they did not. It was just two guys and two guitars.
Good.
And I agree with you. Good. It was, and you know what? I've never been to a concert where the audience just sang along to the songs for two and a half hours. And to say that the audience had a love affair with the performers would be a complete and total understatement. Peter has a little bit of a Parkinson's or a little bit of a shake now. They're 76 and 77 years old, but they're still going strong. It was an amazing evening. I if you are a Peter, Paul, and Not Mary fan, and you've never gotten to see them, or even if you did over the years, and you get the opportunity to see the two of them, you're thinking it'll be a letdown, go see them, because it's not.
Coming up on the Travel Guys, right after we get the news, we're going to be telling you two stories, one with a happy ending,
Yay!
And one with, yes, and one with not so much. That's next on the Travel Guys. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm Tom Romano. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations and one of our favorite guests of all time, the deal of the day gal, Gwen Duncan, joins us.
Tom, we start the second half of the program with two travel stories, one with a happy ending and one a not so happy ending. And the purpose of bringing these before you today is just so that you can hear them and hopefully learn from your fellow travelers' experience, be a little bit smarter next time you encounter a difficult situation on the road. So let me set this up a little bit, and then we'll talk to Gwen and find out how it all came out. A group of eight people, it sounds like, were going from Oakland to Barcelona for a vacation. They chose to book on Norwegian Air, which is one of those charter airlines. We talked about these on the program a couple weeks ago. One of these carriers that don't operate schedules every day, maybe don't even have their own planes. Great prices, but if something goes wrong, you might be in trouble. In this case, something went wrong.
Uh-oh.
The plane was supposed to leave at 8 o'clock, Tom, on the 30th of May. The folks got a text saying their plane was delayed until the following morning, so they decided to go out for the evening, and then they got another text not too long after that said, never mind, the plane is going to leave tonight as scheduled. They went right rushed to the airport, got there, found out, and then when they got there, they said, no, the plane's not going to leave until tomorrow night at 9:30. And so they said, well, book us on another flight. They said, we don't have another flight. We'll refund your tickets. Ultimately, these folks had to book flights at considerable extra cost because they were last-minute tickets on a carrier to fly that night. Gwen, or to fly right away and get to Barcelona for their vacation. Gwen, am I okay so far? Have I set it up pretty good?
Oh, yeah, you set up real well. One thing to add is that before they bought that ticket, expensive tickets, they were told that the flight was going to be delayed until June 2nd. So that was going to be about 4 days they were going to have to wait till they could depart for their vacation.
Which basically meant was that the next leg of their vacation, they would not arrive there in time to participate.
Yeah, that's right.
So now you've got these eight folks, and they spend how much extra money? Gosh, Gwen, it must have been a small fortune to buy eight tickets.
It was $2,800 apiece. at last second.
So that's $20,000.
Buy the ticket and get on the plane.
$20,000.
Yeah, $20,000.
And well, change.
Yeah, well, you know, that pretty much eliminates most of us from being in that situation.
Well, that's, Tom, I was just going to say that. If you or I encountered a situation where we had a bunch of family members or friends or whatever, and we were footing the bill, we wouldn't be in a position. I can't think of too many people who would be in a position to shell out $20,000 for airline tickets on short notice. But these folks did shell out the money, and they did get to Barcelona, right, Gwen?
Yes, they did, and the airline.
They had a nice vacation.
Promised to refund them.
They had a good vacation.
Yes.
Okay, and they got home safely.
Yes.
Okay, so now these people are out all this money. Did they go back to Norwegian Air and ask Norwegian to pay for their tickets?
Yes, their agent, a really good agent of mine, worked with Norwegian, wrote several letters, and they were given in writing a commitment to pay the difference for everybody, and it's going to be put into the bank account. So that was a miracle.
So wait a minute.
They not expected.
Okay, let me stop you here, just so I understand completely. Norwegian is refunding the tickets they didn't get to use,
mm-hmm.
and is paying the difference in the airfare.
That's right.
Which is a huge, as we've stated here, is a huge amount of money.
Yes.
So that's
you
a pretty.
And I mentioned this. It doesn't eliminate the stress and all that headache and changes and hotels and all that, but it is something you don't expect from an airline like that. And I thought that was a miracle.
Well, it is, but it also probably, Tom, what I'm going to suggest to you is this is a perfect example for occasionally we talk about, gosh, do you really need travel agents these days? Do you really need somebody to book this stuff for you when you can go online, you can do all this razzmatazz? It could very well be that these people are not getting this money back unless they have somebody who can advocate for them. So certainly, but I guess, Gwen, here is a question that comes to mind for me, and Tom, maybe you're thinking this too. These folks had the money to shell out $20,000 at the last minute to buy airline tickets when something went wrong. Why didn't they just fly on a regular airline to start with, pay a few more dollars, and they would have probably gotten there?
You know, that's always a curious question, and even with my luxury clients, they always want the deal. Usually they want the deal in the lowest price business class, so this was a little bit of a surprise to me. But that's what they did.
Tom, you know, this is why Spirit Airlines is in the sky.
Yeah, this is true.
It's because people are always looking for the deal. And,
yes.
And it's once they get there, they realize that, flying from Oakland to Barcelona on Norwegian Air, I have never done it. But I can look at their seat pitch online, and the space between the seats, and I can tell you that it's probably a little bit of a shoebox sort of experience.
Yeah.
And so you've got to have somebody. In this case, I'm sure, that they knew that they were getting into something that was a little bit cheaper. Anyway, the moral to the story is that, Gwen, that these folks are going to get their money back. So this horrible travel story that almost cost these people their vacation and had them out of pocket $20,000 at one point is going to have a happy ending, and they're going to get their money back.
Well, a happier ending, yes.
You know,
yes.
I'm curious, and you probably don't have the answer. Maybe we can provide it later on. But I would like to see the letter. I would like to see, what it was that the agent who on their behalf wrote to the company and laid it all out as to why there should be.
Oh, that's a good idea. I'll get one from her.
You know, because there's a lot to be learned whenever you plead your case. You get different results. People get different results based on what they say and how they position
that's
it.
That's right.
So let's
what
see.
A valid
I'll
point,
get a copy
Tom.
Of it.
Yeah, no, that you get in this case, if you were trying to get somebody's $20,000 back, how did you go about it? That probably would be as big of a lesson as anything. Well, Gwen, thank you. Gwen Duncan of Cordially Yours Travel. Gwen, they can find you online at?
Oh, gocytravel.com, and I've got all the information about chargers and everything on my website.
Okay. This is, and once again, we caution all of you folks who are travelers out there when you're looking for airfare and stuff like that, and somebody says, "Well, this is a charter carrier," then that's where the red flag needs to go up, and you need to make sure that you have not only a plan A but also a plan B, and that your time restrictions allow you to save that money without blowing off the rest of your vacation. Gwen, we're going to move on to our not so happy travel story here. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again in a couple weeks.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes, we are the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And Mark, when
When I take the charter and I know that we're going to be hit with a $20,000 bill,
wow.
I'm traveling with you. So you can bring that
good
that,
luck to
bring
you.
That big old fat credit card with you.
I don't have one that would tolerate something like 20. That wouldn't that be nice to just be in a position where when that happened you had that option to you available to you. But I am assuming they're protecting a lot more of an investment in what their vacation package was overseas. So
I'm
what
sure.
a horrible position to be in. But a happy ending, we think. At least it looks like it's going
pretty
to be
much,
a happy
pretty
ending.
Pretty much. I would think so.
Joining us in studio now is Patty Thayer. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Mark and Tom. How are you?
Wonderful, Patty.
Patty's been here just kind of eavesdropping on our program since 3 o'clock. And so Patty has a story of you recently went traveling internationally.
Yes.
And your luggage got lost.
Yes.
And your luggage got found. But the story isn't quite that simple. So
no.
You went to Rome on the 3rd of June.
8th of June.
Yep. You went to Rome via JFK and...
To Dusseldorf to Rome. Frequent flyer ticket.
Okay.
Air Berlin.
So
partner
you flew,
with American Airlines.
So American Airlines to New York.
To New York. And then Air Berlin to Dusseldorf with a long layover and then to Rome.
And got to Rome, went to the luggage carousel
yes.
and...
Yes.
Nothing.
We've all been there. We watch that carousel go round and round and round and people getting their luggage.
Your heart sinks with each
well,
bag
you
that
just,
comes out.
It'll
yeah.
come, it'll come. And then you realize everyone else is gone. The luggage.
The last
that
girl
same,
standing.
That same pink bag has gone around 20 times
uh-huh.
that no one's claimed. And you realize your luggage is lost.
Right.
And that pink bag would be no substitute.
No.
So you go now to report your luggage.
Well, the first thing is I tell myself, don't panic. Stay calm. Stay rational. This is, you're a travel experienced traveler. I go to the baggage claim at the Rome airport, which is another experience in itself. It's not Air Berlin. It's a place for all of baggage claims to go to. There's several ladies, and they're talking. I keep finally get up to my line, remind them, I'm here. They smile. They talk for a minute. They go back to talking. Finally, another thing I learned, be patient, be polite, be persistent.
Were they speaking
Italian to each other? Yes.
Oh, swell.
To me, they spoke fluent English.
Did any of that work, that be patient, be persistent, be?
Yes. I think if I'd not been patient
uh-huh.
and had been disrespectful,
mm-hmm.
there would have been a lot more flurry of Italian being spoken.
So
Tom, you would know.
So yes. Your luggage magically appeared the next day?
No.
Oh.
So I fill out a claim, and they did it really fast. And I go, okay, now what? Oh, just wait. It'll come. Don't worry. I go, could it have come in early? Because I had a long layover mm-hmm. in Dusseldorf.
Right.
They said, oh, well, go check over there. So I go check over there.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of unclaimed luggage.
Oh, my gosh. The sea of unclaimed luggage.
Hundreds.
So now
what?
You've flown all the way across the half
yes.
the planet, and now you're faced with all of this, and you
and
decided.
And you're tired, and you're uh-huh. exhausted, and you have friends waiting for you at the hotel. In hindsight, I should have grabbed somebody from the airport, flashed 50 euros or 100 euros and said, help me find it, because I'm pretty sure that's where it was the whole time.
Mm. How many bags did you have?
Just one.
Oh, just one bag?
Just one bag.
Oh, my
and guess
gosh.
What color it was?
Pink?
Black.
Oh, black.
Okay, yeah. Well, that narrows it down. Okay, so you're on vacation and your luggage doesn't come. How long did you wait before you went shopping in a foreign country?
Well, I went to the hotel, gave them all the information, asked them to call the phone number I had often. They were more than willing to help. I had enough clothes for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So what I have learned, what I already knew and was confirmed by this is pack your checked-in luggage as if you're going to lose it. Don't put anything in it you can't live without. Everything I couldn't live without was in my carry-on.
Now, I think that's really kind of an important, where you talk about making people a smarter
mm-hmm.
travel. What do you learn from someone else's mistakes? And Patty is telling you, when you pack your checked bag, pack it with things, if you never saw them again, it wouldn't ruin your life.
Yes, you can replace...
Things that
pants and shirts, but pack your jewelry, pack your doc, everything, mm-hmm. in your checked-in luggage.
Now, there's some people that, you know, that
your
one
carry-on
outfit
luggage.
Is...
Your
I mean, your carry-on luggage.
Yeah, there you go. There are some people that have that special outfit that they will swear they could not live without.
Well, there were a few of those.
Well, you put that in your... Well, then you put there it you in go. Your carry-on luggage. So,
okay.
Well,
so
you
that's,
put it in
but that's important wisdom, because I'd never heard anybody say that before, is take anything that you put in a checked bag, pretend you'll never see it again. Before you check it, because that's
pack
a possibility.
If you might not see it again.
Or that you might not at least see it for a while.
So
you bought new things and
you
finished your vacation.
I waited a couple days. I started buying a few things just in case the luggage showed up 5 days. It was a certain point I finally decided I need to buy another piece of luggage.
Now, how long were you there?
Almost 3 weeks.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. 3 weeks.
So you bought things and you were able to get replacements, and you finished your vacation. All the while, you're trying. Your luggage is still never showing up. What are they telling you?
Well, I have several contact numbers because I have emailed and left messages on every email, Air Berlin email listed, and they have a canned email they respond to is, unfortunately, your luggage has not been found yet, mm-hmm. but we're still trying.
Okay.
So then. I had all my research while I'm there. I'm Googling lost luggage. Air Berlin has a horrible record with lost luggage. But as I'm reading, researching, I find out information about something called the Montreal Convention, mm-hmm. which is a treaty, an agreement signed by the United States, Canada, several South American countries, all the European nations.
Right.
And they say if you lose your luggage, if the airline loses your luggage within 3 weeks, they have to pay you for all the replacement items. After 3 weeks, even if it's a day later, it's considered lost, and they have to pay you for all the contents in your original luggage.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So the important thing is, as I was buying new clothes, was to keep the receipts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, one other thing. Take a picture of your bag. The ladies in Rome said, you have a picture of your luggage on your phone.
That's a really good
idea. Inside and out?
Just wanted the outside.
Yeah, okay, they wanted a picture of the bag.
But you don't have to tell them. It looks like this one. It's like, this is the luggage.
But I would also personally take pictures as I'm packing of my contents, because mm-hmm. I did have to itemize all my contents. So I just kept bugging them. But once I mentioned the Montreal Convention, mm-hmm. and I kept referring it to it now constantly, according to the Montreal Convention, suddenly I was getting real responses.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting a real person, not a reply.
So they had to get you, we're running out of time here, so they had to get you, they had to get your bags back to you within three weeks.
Yes. So it appeared on my doorstep at 4:30 in the morning, June 30th.
Okay.
Which would have been 3 weeks plus 4.5 hours. So
wow.
Now I'm battling to get the replacement items back. Technically, I could get the contents back also. I have that paid for.
So you've got the luggage back,
You
didn't have the luggage for the 3 weeks, so you had to buy things to replace the stuff.
Exactly.
So you haven't been paid for the stuff that you had to buy to replace. And technically, they owe you for the luggage being lost if you want to call them on the 21 days plus 4 hours sort of thing, which doesn't sound like you're really of the attitude of fighting them over something like that.
I'm going to choose my battles. I did claim all of it, but I'm going to be happy if I get the replacement items back.
So you'll come back and tell us how this turns out, because now everybody wants to know. But there's some good takeaways here. The idea of taking a picture of your suitcase is that's worth its weight in gold. I mean, that mm-hmm. absolutely. And the thing about not putting things in a checked bag that you really, you know, do not put something mm-hmm. that you can't live without, because there is that odd opportunity that it might not ever show up again.
Right. And keep receipts of everything you replace.
Now, I have to ask nearly the final question here.
Okay.
Was did you have to pay to carry for your luggage to go on the plane?
No, I didn't have to because I had my frequent flyer status.
Okay, but without that, would the average person have to pay for luggage on that plane?
And Montreal Convention also says that should be reimbursed.
Okay.
Yes. So, but if you're flying domestically and they lose your luggage and you paid for it and you go in and say, hey, you know, I want a refund because you actually didn't deliver my bag, the answer is no. We are the Travel Guys. We are back with the best for last right after this. This is News Radio, KFBK.
Peter, Paul, and Mary, leaving on a jet plane.
That was such a great concert. Yeah. They scheduled one, and then they ended up doing three. And I just, if you ever get a chance, if there's ever some, you know, I never went and saw Peter, Paul, and Mary together. Even though Sports Leisure Vacations went and saw them numerous times over the years, I could have just been the tour director and gotten on the bus and gone and seen them many times. And I was always going to go see them the next time and the next time and the next time. And then there wasn't a next time. And so
there's the takeaway. Don't wait until the next time. If there's something that you really want to do, go get it done.
Go do it now.
Yeah, we're the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And we have saved the best for last.
We have saved the best for last.
Do you want to do our winner now or after we do the best for last?
Let's do the winner now, I guess. We have a travel certificate. We give away a travel certificate for Sports Leisure Vacations every week on the program. It starts at $100, and if nobody calls to claim it, it goes up $100 a week.
Yes.
We haven't had a winner for a couple weeks.
Wow, what do we got?
$300. A very nice lady who, as it turns out, went with us on our Magic Bus tour a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Her name is Alice Bassel. And Alice, if you are listening, B-A-S-S-E-L, if you're Alice Bassel and you went on the Magic Bus trip with Tom and Mark about a week and a half ago, you will win a $300 travel card from Sports Leisure Vacations if you give our office a call Monday or Tuesday. And if we don't hear from Alice, then the winning card will be worth $400 next week. Normally, we tell people what's on Rob on the Road on Monday nights on KVIE, sponsored by Sports Leisure Vacations, but they didn't send me this stuff this week. But I will tell you that next week in this very studio, we will be joined, the Travel Guys, co-hosted by Rob on the Road Stewart from Rob on the Road.
Awesome.
Will be with us.
Look forward to it.
If you remember, last time he was with us last fall, we had a really good time. So I look forward to that happening again. All right. Save the best for last. This doesn't have a whole lot to do with travel. This is the story of the 50-star American flag. And this is from the Huffington Post. You can go to travelguysradio.com and you can see this entire story is there for you to connect to. It's called The Story of the High Schooler Who Got a B- for Designing the Current American Flag. Turns out in 1958, a gentleman named Bob Heft in Lancaster, Ohio, for school was designed. They had to do a project, and his project was, remembering that there were only 48 states at that time, but he had a hunch that Bob did that pretty soon there were going to be 50. And so Bob went out, set out, got a 48-star flag, undid the whole thing, I guess ripped it up, tore it up, cut it up, whatever, and and turned it into a 50-star flag. His teacher didn't think too much of the project and gave them a B-minus for making a hand-sewn emblem of our great nation. So Bob decided, though, that he thought that there was something to his design.
Mm-hmm.
So he started calling the U.S. government to tell them about his flag. Now, remember, this is 1959. You're not sending pictures on a cell phone here. In August of 1959, so this is a year later, 21 letters and 18 phone calls later, remembering now that phone calls used to cost money back in those days, he got a call from President Dwight Eisenhower inviting Heft to see the new American flag hoisted up the flagpole. Indeed, it looked exactly like the one that he had, that this 17-year-old boy had designed using an originally a 48-star flag. So on July the 4th, 1960, the 50-star flag was officially raised over Fort McHenry in Maryland, and Bob Heft, who as a 17-year-old had originally conceived the 50-star flag, was standing by. And his teacher went back and changed the B-minus grade to an A. He later became a teacher, Bob did, and kept a schedule of motivational engagements, did over 200 in his final year. He passed away in December of 2009. Isn't that a cool story?
That's a great story.
So happy birthday to our country. We live in the best country in the history of mankind.
Amen.
And it provides us with a lot of opportunities, and I am immensely personally grateful for those opportunities. So happy birthday, United States of America. May there be many, many more.
Thank you, Mark. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. The news is next. Join us next week, same time, same stations, 3 o'clock for the next edition of the Travel Guys. You stay well now. Bye-bye.
Radio, KFBK Sacramento.